Authenticity to me is infinite surface rather than anything approximating a core. So we're thinking in terms of inexhaustible sheen rather than something that's to be plumbed or explored within. The idea of being yourself, to my mind, is a rather selfish, almost sociopathic notion, in that it doesn't allow one to edit oneself for the benefit of others. You're in effect forcing other people to go through the dross of your own personality as if others had the time or the inclination to do this. And to my thinking, this model is inherently flawed, because the only people in real life who really force others to do this sort of thing are either sociopaths or infants. So I find it a fairly invalid way of going through life. I'm much more of the mind that a web of habit is one's personality. One masters their own mutation, and the inertia from being yourself and the formlessness of that is a kind of social death. Self-dilution rather than focus, the pruning and the sacrifice and almost the self-amputation that recurs with the idea of modeling oneself or at least editing oneself in a way that others can immediately get that which is best or at least of use to others from you seems to be a much more healthy way to go about life, or at least realize the fact that you are in fact wearing a mask whenever another presence is around you, I think is a very important idea, and one that we can benefit from. The idea of infinite surface as a in place of a core, to me, is kind of works in the sense that one affixes emblems from the outside world, and these emblems are worn down over time through their friction with the outside world until that which is absolutely essential is all that's left. The self is a very, very fluid thing, and these emblems change in importance over time. You know, one occasionally congeals and then dissipates, and this is an endless cycle throughout one's life. I was in Miami last year at the Fontainebleau Hotel, and being a Northeasterner, very taken by the idea of people as brightly colored birds walking around that are basically going around in very bright hues, much like the birds and the plants of that area. And I thought that was a very exciting idea, these people that are on parade
inexhaustible
and are very unapologetically themselves and as sexual beings. And I thought that was a very exciting idea as somebody who was from
being yourself,
a more repressed part of the country,
mind,
perhaps one where an more Anglo-Saxon idea
in that it
was more in this way as to,
one to edit
as to that sort of thing.
For the benefit of others.
And I found this
forcing other people
very interesting, although at the time I felt very much an outsider because of the fact that I
the time or the inclination
am not
and
a my beautiful Latin person. I'm an Irish fungal ape,
only people
and as such,
really
I was very much a spectator rather than a participant. But I thought that that was a
so
very.
I find it a
I thought
fairly
the birds, the
way
plants,
of going through life. I'm much more
Vizcaya. There were wonderful specimens at Vizcaya in the
a web of habit
in the wonderful blends of coral and classical
masters,
Greek gods that were being portrayed through this wonderful
the inertia.
Limestone,
being yourself,
fossilized coral
in the
there,
formlessness,
and all of this seemed to blend all into one sort of
dilution,
atmosphere of eros. And I thought that it, this is a wonderful, powerful
that
thing that should be a more central tenet within American
with
culture.
The
I think.
Idea of
I think it would be a wonderful thing to be thought of oneself in
oneself
almost
in
as a as an ethnicity unto itself, as an erotic American, if that's possible. I thought that would be a wonderful idea, and to have this as part of
from
the. The textures of North America.
Life, or at least realize the fact that you are in fact wearing a mask whenever another presence is around you. I think is a very important idea, and one that we can benefit from. The idea of infinite surface as a in place of a core to me is. Kind of works in the sense
Thanatos
that one affixes
was
emblems
an idea
from the outside world.
That Warhol had
these
played with.
Emblems are worn
although
down
he did flirt with Eros
through their
quite a bit,
with the outside
but Thanatos seemed
that,
to be the one that he was more in love with over time.
All
he was
left.
Somebody
the self
who seemed to fetishize
thing.
Death
and these
and
change
the
in
sepulchral
time.
Aspects of American culture.
You know, one
whether or not he actually
congeals,
believed this or not
is, and this is an endless
up to conjecture.
Life.
Being a resolutely blank creature,
last year at the Fontainebleau Hotel,
the local frontier
and, being
is an idea of great exploration. Re-exploration of established places,
around
places that have been
going around in very
explored
hues,
extensively,
much like
cultivated,
the plants of that
industrialized,
and I
paved,
that was a very exciting idea
and denuded.
On
these
inexhaustible
and are very frontiers that are now reappearing,
and
reemerging from the
and
central
that
areas
idea,
that had been once explored.
A more
the familiar
country,
is now becoming unfamiliar once more. And to have these,
more
at least
way,
in the Northeast United States, to be in our midst, these
others,
ruined
and,
temples of industry along our rivers.
Interesting,
these
at the
300-year-old farms
that
were once
that
outposts on the frontier are now frontier again
Latin
in the sense
I'm
that
an Irish
they are strange
thing.
To those
and,
who
as
do
such,
not go off of
was
to
very
this,
much
the
a
main thoroughfare
participant.
It is
but
a more
that was
modest,
a very,
lowercase
I
sort of adventurer
birds,
that takes up
the
these
plants,
places,
like,
that
more
explores
sky,
these spots.
There were
it does not require a vast amount of wealth. It does not require a vast amount of resources or even courage to do so. It requires one to be curious, and curiosity seems to be
and all of
one
of
to blend the
all into
final
one
frontiers
sort of
in the sense
that
the backyard can be.
And
one.
I thought that it
this
is a
wonderful this kind of dovetails nicely with the idea of the temporary autonomous zone.
Central tenet.
This dovetails nicely with the idea of having temporary, lawless places where all happen and does.
As an
the idea
unto
of
as an
going out
American,
into
a
place
possible.
That is
that would be a wonderful idea.
Probably
and to have this as part of
probably not altogether
textures of North America
civilized, not altogether settled. The matters have not all been laid to rest. There is much more questioning to be done. The leaves and the trees and the fungi all have
idea
unresolved
infinite surface
unresolved
as a, in
unresolved unresolved matters to discuss with us, and we should perhaps listen to them.
An idea.
I believe that we should probably enter more conversations with the invasive plants that we have brought to this place. We should probably talk to those flirtation. Flirting is the art of being interesting with someone. Flirtation is not necessarily a sexual thing. Flirtation is a means of interfacing with the world that is absolutely cultivated, unapologetically
paved,
and denuded. These
inexhaustible
frontiers that flirtation is something that we all do. Flirtation is how we get what we get in this world. Flirtation is a marvelous sort of currency, a legal tender that we all invariably engage in. The flirtation is a wonderful guiding principle for a civilization. I would love to see a governmental structure based on flirtation. In other words, you do not browbeat your opponents, you seduce them. I think that would be a wonderful idea. I think it would give wonderful organic growth to a culture in the sense that the flirtation would allow one to
modest,
go into circles that they otherwise might not. Flirtation does not believe in the proper channels. Flirtation does not believe in accreditation. Flirtation does not believe necessarily in a worm being on the hook. Perhaps flirtation is a way of
curiosity,
finding new avenues to explore, but in a social way rather than in a highly individualistic way. It is more of a communal sort of way of going through the world. Ultimately, it is a bit of a contradiction. It is both individualistic, highly individualistic, but also very highly communal. I think we use flirtation and not even realize it in today's society. And I think much art is based on flirtation.
Probably not altogether.
Flirtation
not
is a mode of art. There is an art to flirtation. There is also a craft to flirtation.
Much more
to have one cerebral cortex play with another is
the
a wonderful thing.
And
flirtation is the sound of
all
both of those
have
moving in unison together,
surface,
unresolved. Unresolved matters to discuss with us, and we should perhaps listen. Then again, flirtation is also
probably
a wonderful way to
have conversations
with the invasive plants that we have brought
through
the nocturnal. We should probably talk to
one
of the landscape. Luxury.
Flirtation
versus
flirting
the new
luxury
is the art of being
the new idea of
luxury.
Flirtation
is based on time,
necessary
thought,
a
sexual
money.
Flirtation
and
largesse
means
of
have
it is experiencing
with the world that is
but not merchandise. Luxury
is
about experience. New luxury is about
the
ability to put
frontier,
as much thought into
something
as you should ever possibly
desire.
We all do.
Flirtation
is how
a
very
get
modest
what
object
get
in this world.
Very
luxurious
thought
is
a
familiar, marvelous sort of current
idea
of
tender
that
the
we
Persian
all
rug
invariably
19th
century salon.
Flirtation
that is now given
way
wonderful
to
perhaps
guiding
more
principle
for a civilization
American
mode, which is
the
governmental structure based on
that
flirtation.
The idea of
luxury
today.
You do not
luxury
your
today.
You seduce
thought.
Luxury
would be a wonderful idea.
Is not
merchandise.
Luxury
wonderful organic
growth
to a
we
culture.
Play with time
in the sense that
luxury allows us the new luxury allows us the
luxury
to
the new
luxury allows us that they otherwise go ahead not and explore. Flirtation does not believe idleness. In proper channels, but it allows us to leave unaccreditation. It gives us an excuse to not believe as if we needed one in the first place. In a worm being on the luxuriousness of idleness is a way of luxuriousness of being finding is something that we've gotten far afield for. But if you are not producing, if you are not individualistic, if you are not more of interfacing, if you are not having lunch with his people and your people, well, it is a bit of a dangerous thing now. It seems to both individualistic, be involved in the new luxury, we're being radically kind, not conventionally sharky. The idea of not even being luxurious without necessarily engaging in old, tatty luxuries is a really lovely mood of a meditation version of wabi sabi art. There's an art to you meditation. Have there's also a craft that are much more plain have and poor, but they are ineffably themselves. They are irretrievably themselves, and they are beautiful because of an unison together. And that'll
unresolved, unresolved. Matters to discuss with us.
The Fabergé egg is nothing compared to the Robin's egg. Is also the Robin's egg is the new Fabergé of the invasive plants that we have brought through the nocturnal.
We should probably talk to one of the landscape.
Luxury. Gusto. Gusto is not machismo, but vitality,
idea of
rigor, enthusiasm,
time,
energy. Gusto is the fool's courage. Gusto is the battle cry of our culture's fools. But we need these fools. They are our shamans. They are our warrior priests. They move us around, not forward. Forward is an illusion. We go around and between, not necessarily forward. There is no progress in art. There is only around and between, not forward and back. That is much too linear of a way of looking at it. Gusto allows us to move in these ways. It is a very jaunty, playful, almost pop culture sort of name, but it has its uses. Gusto has always been with us. Julius Caesar had gusto, thought. Quentin Crisp had gusto. Lena Lovitch has gusto. These people understand and appreciate and are fueled by this jaunty sort of inviolate idleness power that allows them to move into areas that they otherwise might not be allowed to. Gusto is the battle cry of the era beast. Gusto allows us to move into spaces and places that we probably should not go, but we go anyway. Gusto's banner is the guilty pleasure. Gusto is the result of
his people and your people
ferment. Gusto is the result of a cultural ferment in that it allows the picaresque novel is the very embodiment in art of gusto. It allows those who are low to arrive into other places. I think in terms of Voltaire's works, Micromegas and of course Candide as works of towering gusto. I would even go so far as to say Tristram Shandy being a wonderful example of gusto, at least in the literary sense.
Unresolved matters to discuss with us.
The Fabergé egg is nothing compared to Robin. Gusto can be an Airstream trailer. Gusto can be
that we have brought through the nocturnal
can be a nose on a clown. Gusto can be an inordinately wide hat. luxury. Gusto, style is not machismo.
Style and taste are two different things.
Enthusiasm.
Taste is discerning.
Energy.
Style is speculative.
Gusto is the fool's courage.
Gusto. Since life is short, that is to say, an occasion, one should dress for it.
They are a warrior priest.
Style is rarely tasteful, but taste is rarely stylish.
Forward is an illusion.
Deference to convention is not always good taste.
In art,
the dandy is a sly parody of taste. It is a sly parody of the old archetype of the gentleman. The dandy lampoons
playful
almost pop culture, but can also be very subtle about this lampooning. One does not always see right away this send-up, this class-based cakewalk that occurs in the dandy. The dandy is always
these people
a low-born creature that manages to penetrate into other social circles.
Power
is more of an aesthete than a connoisseur.
That they otherwise might
he
not
is
allowed
a living work a of art in himself. He has amputated parts of his personality in order that he better fit into the various social keyholes in which he needs to find
the
purchase.
Gusto,
the dandy looks like, in the words of Groucho Marx, a very successful con man. Style is considered something of it to be a very frivolous quality, but it is in actuality, at least in the true sense of the word, style is central to a person's essence. Style actually is the means by which we go through the world, how we speak, how we dress, how we talk. We're coming back again to the idea of infinite surface. This surface has emblems. These emblems speak to others. It is how we make ourselves legible to one another. This legibility, this symbol alphabet, this alphabet of symbols allows us to thwart other alphabets, syllabaries, cuneiforms, and the other social symbologies.
Can be an inordinately wide hat. Luxury. Gusto.
Amateurism. Amateurism is a species of affected provincialism. Amateurism can also be considered a concept known as picnicality, which is an informal formality, gaps in one's knowledge that force one into circuitous routes, and it results in allowing the traveler to attain highly individualized and idiosyncratic skill sets that they otherwise might not have been able to attain were they to go through the proper channels. Avoid the proper channels as much as you humanly can. They are working against you at any given time. They blunt your instruments.
One does not always
go wide. Do not go deep. Deep depth does not exist. It is an illusion. All experts know this.
The dandy is always these people.
Nevertheless, we must indulge the experts. We must allow them their authority. We must allow them to operate in the way that they prefer. We need to connect these experts so that the cocoons are threaded together with our needles.
in order, and this will invigorate these experts, these cocoons, to wriggle, and in so create a beautiful hissing sort of music, which is a wonderful sort of hiss. This hiss allows us to sleep at night. This hiss is the susurrus of culture. Amateurism is the very wellspring of all of these things. Amateurism and technicality and a rumpled formality are all
actually is the means.
Informality is the enemy. Informality forces us to slip out of our forms, to fall out of our cocoon and surface into the abyss. It is a dangerous thing. It is to be feared. Amateurism has a mask, but it is also a face. It hides in plain sight.
The symbol alphabet.
Amateurism, North American textures, native plants, dress, songs,
amateurism,
architecture,
textiles, a concept known as
North America has its own textures and always has. These textures permeate us. For a very long time, we have tried to be second-rate Europeans when we should have been concentrating on being first-rate North Americans. In the late 18th century and the early 19th century, the etchings of Charles Bird King captured this brief synthesis, this brief moment of cultural parity between the native and the European in his portraits of the Iowa, Seneca, Cherokee, Choctaw, Seminole chiefs that came to Washington to meet the Great White Fathers. All of them bore medallions on their chests as a token of this visit. Some of them died there. Some
we must allow them
were wonderful and still remain in a wonderful synthesis of the native and the European. Some of these chiefs, some of these warriors were actually a synthesis on the genetic level between the native and the European. I myself am a hybrid,
and in so create a beautiful hissing.
If you look at these etchings, these etchings actually show brass gorgets from colonial and British uniforms. You see
amateurism
is cravats, collars, shirts, vests, tunics, turbans, nose rings, earrings, necklaces. Bear claws, you see them painted like birds. You see plumage on their heads.
Out of our forms, to fall out of our cocoon.
And I think it is a very unfortunate thing that we never adopted this as our national costume. I also think it's a shame that our legal tender doesn't have the Cherokee syllabary on it. It's a shame that we squandered this.
Amateurism, North American textures,
the new nature,
plant,
melding of the built
dress,
and grown,
songs,
the idea of nature in the midst of the urban,
North America,
the idea of foraging
its own textures,
or native food within this dress, is a beautiful idea. The poetry of it is very appealing. Unfortunately, we have rendered a lot of this impossible in that we have poisoned the soils to such a great degree
in the
that
late 18th century,
the
early 19th century,
once great
the etchings of Charles Bird King
work house that was once this city,
this brief
is now
cultural
in part a wasteland,
and
a polluted one at that. The lead is heavy in the soil.
Of the Iowa,
as are other chemicals.
Seneca,
the paint factories along the Schuylkill River still leave their mark. If you dig a foot or two down, those chemicals have not gone away. They are very much still there. And yet, despite all of this, the plants and the trees keep growing.
Some of them died there.
And the ducks and the geese and the swans and the herons and the egrets and the eagles, the falcons,
and
the hawks, they are all returning. Despite this, could it be that we've overestimated our own might to change this landscape? Will there again be a great delta at the foot of the Schuylkill? Will Fort Mifflin once more be an island? Will the Hidden River, as the Dutch named it, will it once more be hidden by a series of muddy islands covered in a dense thicket of trees? Will the island of glass that now sits among the acres and acres of endless tank farms down on the lower Schuylkill, will that one day be covered in trees? Will glass become a substrate? Will it become a new substrate for certain kinds of plants that prefer that level of acidity? It's hard to say. But the new nature, third nature as we call it, first nature was us in nature, and then often.